Welcome. My name is Asam Stolu. I'm a trainee editor of the UEG Journal, and you're listening to the UEG Journal podcast. Each episode will highlight one of the most relevant articles recently published in the journal, with the purpose of learning from the most recent evidence and to provide a platform for authors to discuss the most important findings of their research.
Hello and welcome to the UEG Journal podcast. I am Tarek Kani and I am trainee editor of UEG Journal. Today, Dr. Alberto Zanetto from Italy will be with us to talk about their article. He is the first author of the article entitled "Toward a More Precise Prognostic Stratification in Acute Decompensation of Cirrhosis, the PADU-AMADL 2.0, which was published on November 2023 in UEG Journal. Alberto, welcome to the UEG Journal podcast again, and I'm really happy to have you in here with me today. Thank you very much for joining us. So, please introduce yourself and the team to us.
So, first of all, thanks so much, Tariq, for this kind invitation. I would like also to express my gratitude to the editor-in-chief, Joost Rent, for this initiative. So, as you mentioned, I'm here to talk about our paper regarding prognostic stratification in patients with cirrhosis. My name is Alberto Zanetto. I work in Padua University Hospital in the gastroenterology department, and specifically in the multivisceral transplant unit. We have a specific interest, both clinically and scientifically, towards the management of patients with decompensated cirrhosis and complication of portal hypertension and liver transplantation.
As you know, cirrhosis is a complex disorder which could be progressed to acute decompensation or ACLF. Also, acute decompensation and ACLF have also a complicated and multifactorial pathophysiology. What was the most inspiring thing for you at the beginning of the study, and what was your motivation to work on this topic? Finding a biomarker, creating a predictive score, or anything else?
Well, this is a great question, a very complex issue, as you said. We actually in our clinical practice we see a lot of patients with cirrhosis admitted to our inpatient service due to complication of advanced chronic liver disease. And we thought that, you know, it would be nice and clinically meaningful to have some prognostic tools to be used in this patient to improve prognostic stratification. That is to understand which patient will likely progress towards the need of a liver transplant in a short period of time, so that we can concentrate our healthcare resources in this specific subgroup of patients, which will be also probably the target for the new therapies that are currently under investigation in the European trials that are now underway. As you said, cirrhosis is a complex clinical scenario, and the progression of the decompensated cirrhosis towards acute decompensation, and especially towards acute and chronic liver failure, likely reflects a combination of factors such as severity of the decompensation, severity of liver dysfunction and portal hypertension, and most of all, probably severity of systemic inflammation, as was recently clearly shown in the PREDICT study. And therefore, we thought that maybe this biomarker, which is called presepsin, which reflects in a way in patients with cirrhosis bacterial translocation from the leaky gut and therefore systemic inflammation and activation of the immune system, might be useful to identify the subset of patients at higher risk. And we try to combine these biomarkers in a more complex score, which we call the PADUA model 2.0. Which was found to be, as a matter of fact, clinically useful in discriminating patients at higher versus lower risk of acute and chronic liver failure during 1 year follow-up.
As you know, I know you for many years, and you have a great scientific background and you were always dedicated. I want to ask you, how long have you been thinking on these issues and when did you decide to work on this? Was it your own idea or did you develop this with a group?
This was a group idea. of myself and the senior author, Dr. Marco Senzolo. We conducted a study a couple of years ago regarding the potential use of this biomarker for diagnostic and prognostic purposes in patients with cirrhosis, both a patient with compensated and decompensated cirrhosis. And we found that percepsin was could be useful for improving our diagnostic accuracy for bacterial infection in patients with cirrhosis. And based on these findings, we thought that, you know, maybe we can expand the potential use of percepsin in this patient. And since now there is, you know, this interest towards a better understanding of the acute decompensation and acute and chronic liver failure syndrome, we thought that maybe in this specific setting, percepsin could be useful to identify patients at higher risk of progression. And indeed, we showed that.
In Padua model 2.0, you combined the independent predictors and created a model with a higher area under occur. Isn't it expected to find the higher area under occur when you combine all independent factors in a pot? I mean, was that an interesting finding for you or just was an expected one?
No, actually, thank you. Thanks so much for this question. Very, very interesting to discuss. Well, actually, you know, when you develop a new predictive model, you have to test that specific model against what we now use in clinical practices to see whether the prognostic potential, let's say the accuracy of the model, is higher than that of what is now used in clinical practice. And in this specific setting, we compare the prognostic accuracy of this model against the child puke stage, the Cleef acute decompensation score, and the MELD score. And it is not true that if you combine different predictors of outcome, you necessarily came up with a model which AUROC is by definition higher than the predictors itself. So the fact that we found that the Padua model 2.0 had a significantly higher area under the curve than the traditional score was, an important finding of our study, and it gave us, let's say, the idea that this was actually a good score, a good prognostic model in this patient population.
I have another question about percepsin, which was an important finding in your study. There is no doubt percepsin is an important biomarker for inflammation and infection in the light of the current literature. But do you think a biomarker which can get affected by many inflammatory and infectious triggers like percepsin could be a prognostic factor alone for ACLF in cirrhosis?
Well, you know, Tariq, this is a very, very, very important point. And we know that infection are probably the most common precipitant of acute decompensation and acute and chronic liver failure in patients with decompensated cirrhosis. But of course, there are also other precipitants. In our experience, the prognostic role of percepsin was independent of the specific precipitant factor that lead to acute decompensation and acute and chronic liver failure, meaning that percepsin can be useful independent of the specific clinical scenario, also in patients without bacterial infection. But of course, I would say this needs validation. Our experience was the first to test the potential use of percepsin in this patient population, and we are now looking forward to further studies evaluating our results and testing the Padua model 2.0 in different patient population.
So, will the readers read about Padua's 3.0, or do you have anything else in your mind?
This is a very stimulating question. Well, actually, we developed the Padua model, the original Padua model, which combined the severity of liver dysfunction with the plasmatic level of CRP, because we believe in the importance of combining both severity of liver dysfunction and severity of systemic inflammation to predict the individual patient outcome. And now we moved to the Padua model 2.0, combining severity of liver dysfunction with the plasmatic level of presepsin, which may in a way be better than C-reactive protein in patients with cirrhosis, since it will better reflect the bacterial translocation from the leaky gut. And it does not depend on liver function, contrary to CRP. Let's see what the future brings. But for the moment, I would like to see our model validated in external cohorts prior to think to a Padua model 3.0. But we'll see in the next future, and maybe we can discuss this in another UAG journal podcast.
So is it an open call for liver people for an external validation study?
Exactly. We are very much looking forward to that.
It's great. It will be really good. Yeah, thank you.
So, Alberto, could you please summarize your findings first, and then please tell us your future perspectives about the topic?
So basically, we found that the presepsin in a prospective cohort of patients with acute decompensation of cirrhosis, we found that presepsin, which reflects severity of bacterial translocation and systemic inflammation, was independently associated with development of acute and chronic liver failure during 1 year follow-up. And we combine plasmatic level of presepsin with other markers of liver disease severity, and specifically severity of liver dysfunction, as assessed by child puke stage, to develop a new prognostic tool that can be used in clinical practice to predict the risk of acute and chronic liver failure in patients who present with acute decompensation of cirrhosis, and that can be used to improve patient management and identify the different trajectories of acute decompensation in order to be able to separate patients who will progress towards acute and chronic liver failure and unstable decompensated cirrhosis than those who will progress towards stable decompensated cirrhosis, since we believe that clinical management and specific the need for a quick liver transplant evaluation is significantly different between these three different groups. In the future, we are trying to see whether a serial assessment of presepsin level and a serial assessment of the Padua model 2.0 could be even more informative than a one-shot assessment to see whether this can be useful to further improve the prognostic stratification and mitigate cirrhosis-driven morbidity and mortality.
So, Alberto, we are at the end now. Is there anything you would like to say to our listeners?
No, I just want to, thank again you and the whole editorial team of the UAG Journal, not only the associate editor, but also the reviewers that really help us in shaping the paper and improving its message and the analysis. And of course, I would like to thank all the liver readers of the UAG Journal, which I think has now become a leading journal in the field of hepatology in Europe. And I very much look forward to further liver-related manuscript published in the UAG Journal.
Thank you very much, Alberto. Actually, it was a great pleasure for me to talk about your paper in UAG Journal podcast. And to the audience, thank you for listening us.
We hope you enjoyed this interview, and if you haven't already, please make sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your episodes from. Thank you, and see you again.